Mood lighting.
Okay, beginning of the commentary for side one.
Oh yeah, Sounds of Vinyl in the Past. I thought this was a very ambitious album, and this was actually the first thing that we ever did as one of our major releases that was on vinyl. And I was really excited about that. Chris Corey from Mind's Ear Records gave us the opportunity to do almost like an art project. And his whole thing was, send me some music. And of course, with us, it took a while. Probably like a year before I even heard anything, because that's just the way it goes. Because we're so involved wrapping up things with Agony Through Ceremony and everything. And but when I finally sent him some stuff, he thought it was really, really cool. And then it just took a life of its own. And I thought it was so cool because he was talking about doing the run of albums, but then the limited edition side of it, which would include an actual wood box that the vinyl would be housed in, like a bonus CD. And then we started talking about all these like trinkets and everything, almost like, getting a Kiss album in the 70s, like all these little bonus things. And after we decided to do all this stuff, I use that phrase, took a life of its own, because it was just like, it was madness trying to get like things designed, printed up, trying to find the cheapest way to do certain things. Certain ways things were printed weren't cool. It looked cheap, so we had to go back to the drawing board and everything else. But I think that when I started getting proofs at the house and everything of the artwork and all that stuff, I mean, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but it was just, to me, it was so exciting, because it was like, I've always wanted to be on vinyl. And of course, it had to be transparent green vinyl, of course. Any thoughts, my dear friend? Watson?
Just making a little adjustment here. Well, I give full credit to Sean on this one. I mean, a lot of these tracks were already recorded. We sweetened some of them. I don't know. There are other parts that had sort of been left alone, but he also took things back to his lair for the first time, and made sort of a lot of sound collages within his software, and maybe had taken some bits and pieces from here and there and sort of totally destroyed them and morphed them into something different and amazing, and sort of put it all together, made it all hang as one piece. And he was really involved with the go-between between me and, his friend at the record company, just sort of shepherding the whole thing along and getting it going. So I give him full credit. So he's to blame for this mess.
For this debauchery.
Yeah.
Can you turn up the track a little bit?
Mate.
Yeah.
No one can really compare, but just sort of take our word for it, this one. A lot of it was there, the core was there, but we took this to another level, I think, with the overdubs and the new ideas we had and the new technology.
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, when you listen to the bonus tracks on this release, one thing I want to definitely put on there is my work in progress demo, and then maybe just the final demo that I sent Chris. But it's just, when you listen to it, it's just so interesting, because a lot of things that ended up on the record were like final realized pieces of music. So we probably went back to like the multi-tracks, like that section you just heard, that was actually recorded and everything with a little spinny Bart Simpson toy. So everything was recorded, but we're like, with that bass line, like to try to shift it over a little bit or whatever, but we recorded additional things. And I feel that a lot of times bands will be like, people want to hear like the vintage recordings from that time period and everything, but it's like, I think that what we did with the final results is just, it blows away like the original demo I had of the, because like everything was pulled off of cassette tapes when I made the demo and stuff, and then of course I would flip it and make it go crazy in the computer and everything with my Adobe Audition program. plug. But I just think that the final result that we made with the additional recordings and everything is just way cooler than I could have ever imagined. Because, sometimes you try to recapture a sound or something like that you had from like 10, 15 years ago. It's not easy to do. It's almost like certain production things come into play and everything, and maybe you're not using analog machines anymore, so you're not going to get that exact sound, but I think the sounds we got were pretty sick.
And the thing is, it's not like people had heard this before and they were used to one thing and we were desecrating something. It was just us.
So right.
We just wanted to get it the best we could, and like I said, just going back to it, we had maybe the technology that would help us get those ideas across that we couldn't do originally with our limitations. And you know, like with that last song, did we even have drums in that before?
No, we had, I think we had, it was like a hi-hat mixed with something like a, it was like, ksh, ksh, ksh,
oh, yeah.
Ksh, ksh, and that was about it.
Yeah.
So the drums, you actually added additional live drums, which makes it sound so good. And here we have almighty Brian Jackson playing the flute from Gil Scott-Heron fame. And here we have Mianna Nielsen playing the sax from previous Scallions fame.
On W, dude. Yeah.
Now here's a classic. I remember recording this demo in 2004 when I just moved into my house. And I had Mianna Nielsen over and our friend Rob Sarno. And I borrowed the drum set that I sold this guy. And I had to re-borrow it from him because I'm like, oh, I want to record a demo. So I had a snare, a floor tom, and a cymbal. And we made a demo in my living room, but with one microphone. And I think the demo sounded great.
No, I agree. I think we even debated about just using it
as
is at some point.
And there's my son Alex's baby toys in there. I can hear a little shh.
And this is one of the few songs on the album that could be used as a standalone. It's more traditional in its form as far as the song.
Yep.
The other stuff is kind of short and does a lot of morphing, but this is sort of a verse chorus, if you want to call it that sort
right.
of setup.
Because on the promo single, I remember making a single edit of this stuff. And to my friend Pat Bukowski, I know how much you love single edits, but I think in this case, I think it worked. But I love this album so much. I really do. I mean, after the album came out and just trying to get rid of the box sets and everything, it was almost like...
Well, luckily, with those, we didn't really have to even try to get rid
of them. Right. But just the whole, like, all the planning and the execution and everything, it kind of took its toll on me after a while. I was like, okay, since 1990, it's like all I've done is, like, live, breathe, and, you know, do Scallion stuff. So it's kind of like... I just need a little break, but...
Here's the behind the music moment.
Yeah, right. And then came the hard times. You know, I just wasn't feeling it. Cut the commercial.
Today Sean lives a normal life.
Yeah.
Putting the Scallions behind him.
Yeah. He delivers flowers to schools and has a good time doing it, you know? No. No, but seriously, I love this album so much, and... I really feel that, I don't know, like to me personally, I think I hit a creative stride because, you know, I remember sending Mike little snippets of things I was doing, taking these two-track masters and morphing it into something else. And I remember, like, we have a song called Wally. We actually named it Wallace on this thing of this crazy album, of a concept album with no lyrics. And I remember his reaction. He was actually at work. When he listened to the track, and it was just like, he's like, I had to contain myself. It was just like so crazy. I'm like, whoa!
No,
so
that's true.
It's just a lot of fun. Really, really fun. Sometimes the whole avant-garde thing can be a contrived thing where it's like, okay, it's like avant-garde, but then you could always have like, that's one of those sections. I love that right there. You could always have like, three guys making noise just to make noise, and there's nothing there. Where it's like, I think this carries that, like, quote-unquote avant-garde kind of thing, but there's a lot of substance here, though. It's not just pure noise. I mean, it's a little more out there and a little weirder than Agony Through Ceremony, which I consider, like, our hip-hop record, but to me, I don't know, this album, is very interesting. I think there's so many sections where it doesn't get boring. You know, it's not like listening to John and Yoko's recordings where it's like amusing for about 5 minutes, and then it's like, oh man.
Well, and I don't know. It's tough because we're talking about our own stuff, but that's I guess one thing. It's because the avant-garde can tend to go on, like you said, a little too long. So we tried, I think, hopefully contain it where it kept people's interest, and we moved on to something else before it outstayed its welcome. And hopefully, throughout all of this, we're still like kind of like this stuff here, some melody contained in it. It wasn't just noise for noise sake. I mean, although, you know, there are people that heard this album and were actually angered.
It's true, though.
It's quite a departure. I mean, it's a sort of back to our air quotes roots, but I mean, a departure from Agony, which I, you know, came out before this. So it's some people liked it, other people it was sort of a tough pill to swallow.
But on the flip side of that, though, I remember it was just so funny because our friend Polly Kranak, I mean, it's like he was pumping this album on Resonance.com, and then I did one of Chuck's radio shows, and all of a sudden I sold copies from that where people never heard us.
Yeah.
So we sold a bunch of the box sets that people never heard us. So that was encouraging and very cool. Where people, like some of those people that never really heard us, kind of like were neutral. Where, like you said, some of the people that actually got Agony Through Ceremony were like, what is this?
Yeah.
But then people who have known us from a little bit of our crazier stuff were Agony, it was almost like, well, it was a little too pop, so.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't please them all.
That's right.
Yep.
But hey, that's why we're the Scallions. We just do what we do, you know what I'm saying, baby?
And this is kind of cool because I got a new 12-string bass and I just wanted to test it out and play with a track, and we actually used a drum track from another song on this album that you'll probably hear elsewhere, but it just seemed to work for the form of the song, just like it was just a happenstance. And then Sean, that is magic again here with the end of it. I'm going to edit.
I love edits. I'm all about edits. I love them. I have to say, I didn't even like listen to this album to like prepare my audio commentary, and just sitting here listening to this, I'm like, yeah, yep, I'm digging it, I'm feeling it, baby. Good sounds, good recordings. Oh, and what's coming up next? The world will never know. I remember one of the little snippets that I did. I actually took, I believe it was Mud Pie, our first album, and I literally took 1 second from each of the tracks. Like, I went through the whole tracks and made this little, like, loop thing, and I looped it over and over and over and over and over again, and then it just went to another section. It was pretty cool, though.
End of side one.
This program is over. Please flip the cassette and go to side two.
Got it.
All right. Rock and roll.